Welcome back to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, and this is the podcast where we help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting an incredible guest, Brooke, a certified personal trainer and nutritionist. She is on a mission to bring a realistic approach to health and fitness, helping women feel more confident both in the gym and in the kitchen. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course, my fellow bunny.
That's me.
I'm super excited to have you. And I was really excited when you first came. We were talking obviously before this, and she said this is her first podcast ever. So I feel really excited about that.
Yeah. So I tried to start my own podcast. I did two episodes and that was it. That is like a whole nother story for another day, but I have never officially been on a podcast, like on somebody else's. Never. I'm nervous. I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, I feel like you being nervous is still most people being like very confident.
I'm good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm probably gonna stumble on my words 50 bajillion.
Oh, you're fine. No, you're good. You're good.
Hopefully, so most of your audience speaks gibberish because
they do, because that's me. A lot of the times I'll be talking and I'm like, did that make sense? And I'm like recording while I'm asking that out loud. And I'm like, well, I mean, you guys are going to let me know whether or not it did. So we're going to find out.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So obviously I know you, but obviously I don't know a whole lot about you because I feel like I still have more to learn, which is really exciting because I'm going to ask nosy questions because that's just the kind of person I am. I'm curious, what got you started into fitness?
I was hoping that you would ask this question because I actually just recently did a reel that was like, the gym saved me. And I do think a lot now on social media, especially if you're a fitness influencer and you post, so many people are like, it's no big deal. It's just the gym. Like, it's not that deep, right?
Yeah.
And for some people, it really is. So I, growing up, was not a sports kid. I danced a little bit, but that was like once a week. And I was like, that's it. That's good. Like, I don't need any more activity, right? Like, I started gaining weight kind of towards the end of high school when my parents were going through their divorce. My mom, which like probably my, not like my biggest downfall, but like the most touchy subject of me is why I started in the gym. So my mom basically, once my parents split, I lived with her the whole time. I wasn't like the biggest fan of my dad, probably because my dad did things the right way. And I was a teenager who didn't want to hear those things. Right. But she basically like hiked up and left and moved to Florida when I was 17 years old.
When you were living with her full time.
Yeah. So she met a guy and I was living with her and she would basically like go to Florida for like 2 to 3 months. And I was a very blessed kid. Like I never had to do a dish. I never had to do a chore. Like I was very spoiled and I had the best childhood, right? Like my mom did everything for me.
Okay.
So when my mom would leave, like I had to figure out how to do dishes, how to do laundry, how to grocery shop. Like as silly as that sounds for a 17-year-old, like it was, I never knew how to do that. So she ended up, a lot of this I have kind of blocked out. But she ended up just kind of like had a goodbye party that I don't even remember, but I guess I was there. Like took me to a restaurant and was like, I'm leaving. And I was like, oh. So before then, like I was never in the gym. Like that was a point in my life where I think because I have been around drugs and alcohol with my cousins and my brother and my family, where I could have easily gone down that path, right? Like, very easily that could have been accessible for me. And I've always been somebody who's like, I'm never going to smoke. I'm always going to be the DD. I was very stubborn about that. And luckily enough, I think that was who I was already. And so I kind of found the gym and was like, this is it. Like, this is where I feel I have control when my life felt so out of control. So that is my long explanation for why I started in the gym, because the gym is that deep for some people. And it's that deep for me.
I love that. And we have a lot of parallels, which I found so interesting as you were like sharing it. I was like, wow, we have a lot of things in common. I want to ask something before I share common things. So what was like your first experience like in the gym? How did you start going?
So I had like kind of two random experiences, I would say. One of them was actually with my dad. And like, I'm very close with him now. Like I said before, it was like,
I see the videos.
So anyways, he wanted to take me and he was like, I'm going to get you a gym membership. So that was kind of like my initial, okay, I'll go to the gym. And then I actually, my high school boyfriend at the time, his mom was the most important person I could have ever had in my life at that time, which I still love her to death. And she's just everything that I wanted to like aspire to be was her. She was just such a positive person, took care of herself. She took me in the gym. I remember doing Smith machine squats. No, wait, blacking out in 5 a.m. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, do I have a nice butt yet? Like, was that enough squats to get me there? It wasn't. It doesn't, you know. But I mean, that was like my first gym experience. It was terrifying.
Oh, I love that though. Because that's why I was curious, because I was like, I loved everything that got you to go to the gym and why it's so important to you. But I was like, so what was that like first moment where you actually like went? Because I always find that so interesting, because the parallels we have are my dad just did the best he could. He was very stern. My parents got divorced when I was in second grade and I would like bounce back and forth. And then in high school, I was like, I'm going to go live with my mom because she does like a lot for me. She like cooks for me. She makes it really easy for me. Stepdad's a little bit more of a hard ass, but that's fine. And I was like, so I'm just going to go there. And I like didn't talk to my dad for actually like a couple of years because it was such a like difficult relationship. And then I got older and then my mom and I actually like had a complete falling out, stopped talking for like years and barely have any communication now. And then my dad and I now are extremely close. And I'm like, it's so interesting how that can happen.
So we're literally the same person.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know what? You actually, because I've had these conversations with people and you find a lot of girls don't have, or I guess just people maybe in general don't have good relationships with their dad. And they're so close to their mom. And I always feel like such an outcast or so different from people who have these really great relationships with their mom. And I just kind of keep mine at bay, I guess, just for the sake of no confrontation. But you know, I mean, that's so, I have met very few people who are in the same situation as far as like relationships with their parents.
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel the same way where it's like a lot of women are really close to their moms. And I always found that so fascinating because I was like, I can't relate to this. And I do the exact same thing where like my mom and I are very distant, where it's like, she'll kind of reach out every once in a while. And I'm always very like cordial, but like, that's what it is. And it's so fascinating to navigate that, especially around like holidays and stuff, when like you see a lot of people like being close. And I've always wanted like a big family. Like that's always something I've like dreamed of. Like, I want so many family members and I want us all to be so close. And it's like, that's just not what I grew up with. And it's such an interesting dynamic to have that.
It really is. And I'm at the point right now where I actually, it's like funny that this is, and I'm sure you can relate, because you don't have kids.
No, I have a dog.
Yeah, me too. I got two dogs. And I'm feeling this massive pressure to, I've been with my boyfriend for almost 7 years.
Yeah.
And because I have those abandonment issues, I really want to make sure that, like, if I'm going to marry this one, like, he's not going to leave me. Because I know the person that I am, like, I'm not going to get married to get divorced. I know everybody probably says that. But, like, if I, like, when I was 13, I told you, I'm never going to smoke weed in my life. And my siblings were like, you're going to do it. I'm just saying, when I'm at their funeral one day, I'm going to be laughing at them because I will still be able to say I've never smoked weed. I've told them that before. Like, you guys, don't mess with me. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to stick to it. And so I feel like that's how I am. And I'm at this really weird stage of, I don't feel like I'm ready for that next chapter. I love, I love like my fitness journey. Like, as silly as that sounds, I love health and fitness. Obviously, that's why I'm in it, and I love to help people get started into it. So I feel like that's my baby, and I feel like I'm not ready to have that
Another
next.
baby. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
No, that
very
makes
weird,
sense. If no, it makes
especially
sense.
with not having your mom around. You know what I mean? It's I'm not ready for that confrontation because I know that I'm going to be, if I'm protective over myself, I'm
Oh, for
already
your children.
protective over kids that I don't even have with that. So it's very, your 20s are a very weird time.
To say the
Very weird.
least. It's funny because I have two half, technically they're half sisters, but I always just say they're my sisters. But I have two half sisters and they're 9 and 13. And it's funny because I'm about to be 30. And so it's like, it's a very big age gap. And like, I'm literally 2 weeks away from 30 as we're recording this. And so it's, yeah. And it's wild. I'm like, everyone thinks I'm like 24. And I'm like, that's fine, guys. Just keep thinking that.
I'm 27 and I'm like, when somebody tells me they're 23, I'm like, guess what? Me too. Okay, me too.
I swear I am. It feels that way. But it's interesting because like I understand what you're saying about like feeling protective because that's something that and also the baby being your fitness journey and like also the business that you've built because that's exactly how I feel because that's how I view like coaching clients. Like I'm like you guys are my babies. This business is my baby and I want to have my full attention on it and I know I'm a very like selfish person with my time and thinking of balancing that then with children sounds like wild to me. And I don't want to do that right now because I know what I want to build. I know who I want to help and I know I want to do. And I'm not saying you can't do those things while having it. I just don't think I'm capable of it. And yeah. And it's like, I see the way that I am with my little sisters. I'm so protective over them. And like a lot of times when I make content, I think like, what do I hope that they believe in themselves when they get older? Because I didn't believe those things.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I remember being 13 like it was 2 days ago, you know? And even just the silly things that you thought would work as far as like, I want to lose 10 pounds in a
Oh,
week.
gosh.
I want a thigh gap. So I'm just not going to eat for a week. Like what we're very lucky. It's a blessing and a curse because I do feel like we're in a place, especially with technology and social media, where there's so much information out there, which is a bad thing, right? Like you could tell somebody, like somebody, I did a Q&A on my story yesterday, and I was like, what do you struggle with when it comes to food? And some of the questions, like sweet tooth or how, what to eat that's high protein, I guess you've been in it, and like you've been in it, you're
You
like,
forget.
chicken, how do you not know? Like, eat chicken. I don't know that. And I get that people are like, chicken's boring, whatever. But besides the point, there's so much information out there. And when we were young, social media wasn't as big as it is now. You never went on Google to be like, how to lose 10 pounds. You were just like, I'm just not going to eat and think that that works.
Or I always Googled like actresses' diets. That was like
Really?
my thing. That was my thing. And especially that was more like college. So it's when I was in college. So I was always look at like, because I was also a musical theater major. And so I was like in the acting space. So maybe that's why I was like more inclined to like actresses specifically. But I vividly remember like Jennifer Lawrence and Hunger Games. And I would like Google like, what was her diet and exercise like? And I'm like trying to figure out how I can do this. And they're like, oh, she hated exercise and kind of just ate whatever she wanted. And I didn't understand that she's also like 5'10" and I'm like 5'2", and so there's like a vast difference in height, which is also going to play a role in things. But yes, it was. I'm very specific about what I say about social media because I think that it's so fascinating how many people just fully hate it because I'm like, you can curate it. You can kind of curate it to an extent and like you choose what you engage with. And I just find that such an interesting thing. And I also understand that there's a lot of BS out there. There is a lot. So it's harder to navigate that. But when you find accounts like ours, it's like, know that we're going to like call out people who probably should be called out, or we're going to tell you things that are great, or we're going to share people who are also great to follow. And so it's like, find those people, latch onto them, and then like listen to who they tell you to do. But obviously, it's hard for people because it's like they don't know.
And I always tell people too, because especially TikTok, and I don't know if you find it like TikTok and Instagram are like two different beasts,
Very,
right?
di very
Like,
different.
I thought that TikTok hate was really bad until I got like somehow my Instagram. I don't have Facebook, like I'm completely locked out. I don't know what happened there. So I don't know if like Facebook people now see my Instagram reels. Like, do you know how like
Yeah,
those are?
you can like share it on both.
I'm getting Facebook moms on my Instagram reels going like, "Why are you getting ready for the gym? Why are you?"
Oh.
So I'm like, I thought TikTok was bad because they're like 17-year-old gym boys who are like,
They're mean on TikTok. They're mean.
they're mean. But I always tell people in my posts now because people are so, they think that the video is specifically for them.
Yeah.
In the fitness realm, some things are going to work for you and some things aren't. Like, there's not one right way to fitness. And
Yeah.
that's really important, especially as a beginner in the gym, because you always try one thing and it doesn't work. And then you go, screw it, I'm done. Like,
Yeah.
I quit. Like, it didn't work for me. And people don't stick with it long enough to try different things or realize
Yeah.
that you have to try different things in order to find what works.
I love that. I love that message so much. And I think it's so important because I agree 100%. Because we specifically work with a lot of people who have like all or nothing mindset and like shifting that for that exact reason. And it's interesting because I was on a podcast a couple weeks ago and he had asked me about like how I ended up trying so many different things or how I like became this kind of person who like does so many different things. And I didn't have an answer then. And it's funny because I still don't have like a real answer. And it's something that I've like mulled over for so long because that is who we see all the time. But when I started working out, I was just like, I just like it. But the funny thing is, I just kept switching from thing to thing that I liked. I was a runner. I did boot camp classes. I did powerlifting. I had bikini competitions, CrossFit, Spartan races. Like I just kept bouncing around and just trying new things. The only thing that was different between me and a lot of other people is I just didn't stop.
Right, which is the even if you find something like for you find something and you liked it all. For most people, you find something and they don't like the one thing, and they don't continue. And I think even I realized the other day, because you're a runner, I only run
I'm
to the
not a
fridge.
runner. Oh, it's because I posted
Back.
that picture.
Well,
I was
you've
like,
done.
why does she say I'm a runner?
You ran well because I saw
I
that
used
you
to
did
be.
one recently, right? And then you were
I
like,
did.
I am not where I don't know how I used to do this, right?
Yes, I used very past life. Past life used to be a runner.
I only run to the fridge and back to the couch. That's the extent. So I feel like a lot of TikTok girlies right now are being like, I'm in my running era, and I'm like, you won't catch me dead in that. Like,
It was like
absolutely.
Pilates. Pilates was the thing for so long. Yeah.
And I kept being like, man, do I fall into the trend? Like, do I
No.
do it? But like,
No.
I think that's what's so hard for beginners is you think, well, girls are lifting weights and they're not getting bulky, right? Because that's what
Yeah.
we've done for years.
Yeah.
And now we're like, but this girl's now doing Pilates and she looks toned. And that's what it's like, oh my gosh, there's just you got TikTok needs to stop. They need to just be like, hey, this works for me. Try it. It might work for you. It might not work for you. It's not like a do or die situation where you have to do Pilates in order if you want to see specific results, because you can see the results from weight training too if you enjoy
You're gonna
it. Do
see
you
such
know what I mean?
different results. And that's the thing that, because I was, so here's the kicker of me trying so many different things. Because even though I didn't quit and like I actually enjoyed them, I would stop the moment I stopped liking it. So that was the kicker, is I would just be like, oh, I really like this. And then I would be the true all or nothing person where I just did it all the time. And then I eventually burned myself out. And then I was like, okay, I'm done with it. On to the next thing. And they just all happened to be active because I like moving. The thing with Pilates that I didn't understand until I understood nutrition more is that the reason that most of these people look the way that they do is because they tend to eat a very specific way. And I want to be so specific that I'm not saying anyone has an eating disorder. I'm not saying anyone's doing anything necessarily like wrong. I obviously don't know. But many of the people tend to navigate or be geared towards very low calorie intakes, very low protein intakes, And then that's typically why they look the way that they do. It is always going to come down to energy balance. There's no question about that. And so like that was my beef with like the Pilates going around, especially because so many girls with PCOS were being like driven to it. And I was like, strength train, just everyone, just once or twice a week, strength train. I don't care if you do Pilates. I don't care if you run. I don't care what else you do. Just do it.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, well, I guess if you like, okay, you're 30, basic, almost.
I'm being attacked. I'm officially 30.
When you're in your late 20s, and if you have listeners who are older than late 20s, they're probably going to ream me for this.
Oh, gosh. But
we're basically, come on.
Say
we're
it.
80.
Say it. Let's hear
we're
it.
80. We're basically 80. Like,
we're 80. Like, did you say we're 80?
Yeah. Like,
why
okay.
Are we 80? Because of our habits?
At this point, yeah. But
oh, I was
at
like,
this point of your fitness journey, like,
I see what you're saying.
If you've been in the gym for a while, 80 yes. meaning like, I want to be active when I'm like, I'm doing this now. I'm
to
moving
be active when you're older.
To like live longevity and to not sit in front of a TV and not be able to move.
Yeah.
You know? So I think when you first start out and you see all of these different things of what you can do and what's trending, and then you start it and then you stop it, at the end of the day, it always is strength training, really, to make sure you don't sit in atrophy in front of a couch.
Yeah.
And you could do all, like how you said, I completely agree. You could go do whatever you want. If you strength train 1 to 2 times a week, because your, what's it called? Your, it's in like the first page of the books, then they teach you your, like activity, daily activity, living.
TDEE?
No, it's basically saying you sit down, you stand up, right? You squat, and it's a similar movement. Do you know
like body mechanics?
Yeah, so basically what you do in strength training is what you do in your daily activity.
Oh, you're saying, okay, the correlation between the strength training activities and like how you move on your day-to-day basis. I get what you're saying. The way that it correlates. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess just how important that is, like at the end of the day, you could try all these trends, but like fitness is not a trend. Like this is a lifestyle. And I think that's the most important thing. And in the beginning of my fitness journey, I thought I'll do this for 3 months. Like I'll diet for 3 months and I'll lose all of this weight. And then I will go back to how I'm eating before. I'll go back to my fitness. And I think that's hard for people to break away from. But once you do, get rid of the fear that you're not going to succeed, right? Because people constantly go, I'm going to try this diet, but it's probably not going to work for me because I have all of these probably nots in my head. Once you do it and you kind of stick to it and you see that this is not a punishment, right? It's a celebration of living a healthy lifestyle and being balanced and realistic, and you don't have to look a certain way to be healthy. We're all different at the end of the day. Like how you said, this person who's 5'10 and you're 5'2, healthy looks a lot different on people. And if you find those little things that you like and stick to it, it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the all or nothing, but it ends up being worth it, I guess. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm curious for you, like, what was that moment where you felt like, because obviously, like, yes, it is a lifestyle, because it, the part that like almost triggers people when they hear that is they're like, well, I don't want to like live at the gym. And it's like, that's not what you're saying. When you say that, it's the aspect of you have to ingrain these habits into your day-to-day life. Like an interesting thing that just happened is I've recently lost a bunch of weight, and people were like, what's going on? You're so lean. And I'm like, I know, it's because I'm just walking a lot more because it's nicer here. And I was like explaining that to people. People are so confused and they're like, oh, that's wild. And I'm like, well, it's because like all the rest of my habits revolve around like me being active pretty much. Like I like walking outside. I like going hiking. I like eating the way that I eat. And so it's just, I naturally, without trying, which when I was younger, if someone ever was like, I just lost weight without even trying, I would want to hit him in the face. I never thought I would be the kind of person who was like, I didn't mean to lose weight.
Right.
But it's like, it's because it's a lifestyle. So
yeah, and
go for it.
Well, I think that all or nothing mindset, right? Mm-hmm. People think that it is the quantity of how much you go to the gym that counts, mm-hmm. or how much of the healthy foods that you eat or mm-hmm. the healthy habits that you consume. When in reality, I think living the balance part of that lifestyle is it's more so quality. You don't have to go to the gym 7 days a week in order to live this lifestyle. It doesn't have to be something that's every single day that you go. You could go three times a week and you could see results and you could have the balance. I think something that I'm realizing that might be more difficult, because I'm a foodie. I love food. Like,
I was about to ask you about food.
Oh, I love, like, I could never just be like, skipped a meal? I didn't even realize. I'm like, what's my next meal? And it's going to be so good. Like, I want, when I first started to in the gym, which I'm sure you have like trigger warnings on all of this.
You're fine. You're fine.
Yada, yada. And I say this very lightly as I can, I guess. I did have an influence who I still have this person in my life, so I don't want to say who specifically, but who dealt with bulimia and an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And when I was kind of like wanting to lose weight, I was influenced by this person to like, yeah, eat less. Eat less. Oh, you're hungry? Good. And so her habits kind of were like, she was kind of influencing me to like, you know, go down that path. And so I definitely started down that path. When you want to lose weight, you feel like food should be restricted. And that's something now that's so important to me, is you do not have to deprive yourself of food. If anything, I think most people who are trying to lose weight or to reach a fitness goal in the gym don't eat enough. Yeah. Like they eat. I did it the other day. I literally did it the other day and I didn't mean to, but I was cleaning my house, running around, and there was a leftover Jack in the Box taco in my fridge. And I didn't eat breakfast and I didn't eat lunch. And I had that Jack in the Box taco. And then I was like, keep going during the day. Like, just keep going. Like, I wasn't really like hungry. Wasn't paying attention to like what I was food. I was paying attention to like cleaning because I had people coming over.
Yeah.
And I ate the rest of that day. Right. Like I had a decent dinner and whatever. I wasn't trying to deprive myself, but I think a lot of people go, well, I didn't eat a lot. I just had a taco from Jack in the Box. When in reality, it's not how you actually, you don't have to deprive yourself like that to lose weight. You can eat the foods that you love. I like to recreate my favorite junk foods into healthier versions at home. I think anything that you make at home is probably going to be a lot healthier than the McDonald's burger if you make a burger at home, right? But anyways, I feel like I'm probably rambling on this.
No, no, you're doing great.
But you don't have to deprive. If I could have told like the girl who I was in the beginning of my fitness journey that it's so much more flexible than you think it is, I guess. And that kind of circles back to, there's so much information out there that can be so confusing. At the end of the day, I think this lifestyle can be really simple if you have small daily habits that you make that are healthy and towards that goal, and realize that you don't have to deprive yourself of the girls' night or the brunch or the whatever. I don't have friends, so I don't do the brunches and the girls' nights. I hang out with my grandparents, but I'm telling
you, my favorite is your grandparents, your grandpa videos. I'm always like, I'm living for these.
You know what? This is like so funny, because you know how like the older generation like doesn't understand like social media or like anything. So we had one, which most of your listeners probably don't know, I do cooking videos with my grandpa.
It's and really cute.
Absolutely loves it. So now he had one video that got 125,000 views. And so now every video since, he's like, how much does our lentil seminar, because we call them cooking seminars, he's like, how much does our lentil seminar? I'm like, only 8,000. He's like, only 8,000? He's like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore if it's not over 100,000.
It's like, I deserve the views.
I'm like, you're such a celebrity. I'm like, Grandpa, people love you. Like, I always get so many messages. They're like, where's Grandpa? Where's the seminars? Like, do you guys even like me? Or is it just,
Everyone's
I
there for
know
your
you guys.
grandpa.
Yeah, I know it. Even when I've gone to anything Buff Bunny related, Brock, how are you? I love your grandpa. First thing out of everybody's mouth.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. It's funny. I knew you for outfits. That's what I knew you from before I met you. And I was like, oh, she's such good outfits. And then when they signed you, I was like, oh, we got the outfit girl. I love this. And I was like, yeah, because I'd already
I
seen
love
your
that. I know.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. I did want to ask a question though before I get distracted, because I know I'm
Yes.
going to get distracted. Because I was curious, you were talking about the relationship you have with food and this person who was making it seem more enticing to eat less and kind of navigating that, which I think is great that you recognized that that was going on and you got out of it. I'm curious, what got you out of it?
I honestly had a brain fart day. Like I had like a light bulb go off in my head because I wasn't a trainer yet, obviously. I lost about 40 pounds, not the right way. And I always tell people like I didn't do it the right way in the beginning. And if I could go back, I'd obviously change it, right? I had a week where I went to visit a friend in Seattle and I ate everything in sight because my mindset was I'm never gonna get this food again. Because I deprived myself of so many things. And when I came back, I think I probably dramatic, but I definitely gained, like I was puffy. I felt like I gained weight. And that was probably just me being like overanalyzing my appearance. But I thought, okay, do I go back to like eating 1,000 calories? Like I can't drop it anymore. That's barely anything. And my brother at the time was like, would help me kind of here and there. He was into the gym at a part of his like a part of his career, whatever you want to call it, in the military. Like he was kind of like really into it. And I remember talking about your BMR and finding out what your BMR was.
Oh no.
And that's what made me go, I don't think I should be eating under my BMR.
Oh.
That was my like brain fart moment, which actually, this is one of the books, and I have it here because I wanted to kind of like go through it again because I haven't gone through this in so long. But I got this book in like as I found that out.
Oh, I
This,
love, yeah, I like Michael Matthews. I'm on
yeah.
Legion.
Oh, yeah. So I read this, and that kind of helped me like kickstart what I was gonna do. And I
That
literally
was
thought,
like you read that book then?
yeah.
Oh, I love that. For oh,
Yeah.
sorry, for podcast. It was Thinner, Leaner, Stronger by Mike Matthews.
Yes. So I got that because I found out I was like, I think I'm not doing this right. Social media, so this had to have been
That was a
like
long time ago.
2015 where it was like kind of the start. So who I follow, which was probably controversial. Heidi Summers.
Not controversial.
Not controversial, but this next one, Nikki
Nikki
Blackheader,
Blackheader, I knew it.
Whitney Simmons.
That was it? I was waiting for Sarah Bomar. I
No,
followed her. I followed her. I was like, oh, great.
but those were my three.
The OGs,
Those
yeah.
were, yeah. And so I followed every workout that Whitney had on YouTube. And I actually ended up doing like a body recomp now looking back. Like I kind of got reverse diet, slowly get out of my, and I'm not like, I am not the fitness person that tells you all of the ins and outs and the little details because I just think at the end of the day, for people like me who went through a traumatic experience with food in the gym in the beginning or now or wherever they're at, you don't need all of the numbers to confuse you even more.
You need the emotional shift and mental shift.
Yes, before you can feel like you could track a macro or learn how to track a macro. Like it's not necessary in the beginning. I have it somewhere and I don't know where, but I would like before MyFitnessPal, before anything that was like on
Oh,
your phone,
wow.
I had a just a spiral notebook and I would write down breakfast, lunch, dinner to like just track and I'd write the calories down and I would even write, I found a page and my dinner one night was like chips, like a
Oh
bag of
gosh.
chips. And I was
Girl
like,
dinner.
I put girl dinner. I put chips.
You're like, I'm the OG.
Oops, I'll try harder tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I wish I obviously knew then what I know now, but that's why you find people like you and I who are so passionate about being realistic about health and fitness in the gym. But that was my light bulb, is I was like, BMR.
That's so
Probably
interesting.
Eat under this number.
I love that for you, because I think that not a lot of people would have put that together, actually. Like, not to knock people, because for those who don't know, your BMR is your basal metabolic rate, basically the amount of calories you need just to keep the lights on. Like, you could do absolutely nothing all day long. That's the amount of calories that you need to consume just to live. And I've already said many times, nobody does nothing. You literally get up and do other things throughout the day. So that is the bare minimum.
Like, if you were in a coma, you'd be sitting and you'd need that amount of calories.
Yeah. And it's so interesting how people will still hear that and not understand it and not believe it. Like, they think, no, I'm the exception, or I still can't eat that much. And so I think it's really wonderful that you recognize that. And there's nothing wrong with you having gone through that journey. Like you didn't do anything wrong by going through it. Obviously, yes, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to go through the BS of that. But it's like, because I had very similar experiences where, like, I've gained and lost like 60 plus pounds twice because I didn't know the difference and I didn't understand. And I just followed meal plans from people who were not actually legally allowed to give me meal plans, what I learned later. But it's great that you recognize that. And so now, one thing I loved, this is such a weird thing for me to notice, because I don't see it enough, where, like, you actually, like, pack on your food when you are eating it. Like, you actually eat real serving sizes. And I love this. And how do you, like, how have you navigated that now, going from that to this? Because that's a big shift.
It really is. I think at the, that realization for me was like, well, I love food. Mm-hmm. Like, I every Friday I pound a Chipotle burrito, because I like, it is literally my favorite thing in this universe. But, like,
have you tried Cava?
I don't have one here. I live in, like, the middle of nowhere.
It's funny. I just, ever since I had Cava, I just hate on Chipotle now. It also, Chipotle gave me food poisoning once, and I have just sworn to hate it ever since.
I've gotten
food poisoning.
I still go back. I no. still go back. I am a ride or die for Chipotle. But
sponsor her, people.
It's seriously, it's about time. I am not a chicken, broccoli, and rice kind of girl. Like, yeah. I cannot eat boring plain food. I think that's the assumption of eating
fitness
healthy.
People. Yeah.
And one thing that gets me, I guess, to stay on track but also balance is I like to take things week by week. And if I'm, you have seasons of the year or of your life or however you want to call it, where you might be really, really dedicated in the gym. And even me as a trainer, eating really, really clean or being super on your game. And then you have times where you're not. Mm-hmm. And you don't go to the gym as much, maybe, but you're not motivated, but you just kind of do maybe the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Something that gets me through that I kind of do week by week, and I like to do this with my clients, is like, what worked for you last week and what didn't work?
Yeah.
Because food can also be very emotional for people.
Yeah.
And I realize, I was just telling Amy, who's also with Buff Bunny. Amy Jo Fit, her and I are like this. But I was also telling her, because we go through our experiences and just how different our fitness journeys have been, and talk about just the ins and outs of it, right? And I was basically saying, I know, like, the other day when I had a taco and, like, from Jack in the Box, and that was it. And then I had a dinner that it was like, I ate, it wasn't the best thing, and I wasn't trying to, like, I didn't feel bad for eating this taco, you know what I mean? But I feel so much better when I'm like, cardio in the morning, done. Drink water, drink all my water, done. Eat a healthy breakfast, I feel great. Eat my meal, like I feel so much better. So living a healthy lifestyle is a lot about being prepared, right? And not just being prepared for the healthy things, but also mentally preparing yourself for the times where you're not going to have the healthiest thing, which I hate to be like, I don't like to say like healthy food versus junk food.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate against food except for like green beans, really.
I take it that's a personal thing.
You know what? Like, I've never met a taco that I don't like. I've never met a pasta noodle that I don't like. So I don't like to categorize it like that, but I do like to mentally prepare myself, because if you aren't prepared and you thought that you were going to eat really healthy that meal, and then you didn't, and then you feel like shit for it because it wasn't in your plan, then you feel this guilt, then you feel that you have to deprive, and it's this vicious cycle. So what I like to do is think, like, what worked for me last week? What did I do really well? And then where did I lack? Like, where did I not feel prepared? Where did I have those moments where I felt a little bit guilty, or I didn't think that I was going to go out to dinner and I did? And then how can I make that better? How can I be better prepared for the next week? Because at this point of my fitness journey, and what I try to tell, you know, people, followers, whoever, is I just always want to work on the best version of myself. And I don't really care how I get there. Like, you don't have to be super extreme. Yeah, you need a little bit of discipline, but you need consistency and just good habits. And that's really it. It's okay if you have the days that aren't perfect or aren't the best. You can still attain your goals with having a jack-in-the-box taco or whatever it is, the meal that you like.
So what are some of the ways that you try to be prepared?
What I've actually been doing recently is I will need to plug my computer in. Please, please hold. Don't. Gotta plug this dinosaur in.
You're good.
Okay. Okay. That was really scary. Okay.
It just dies.
Bye. So I've had my years where I meal prep, right? So I now prep ingredients instead of meal prep specific meals. And I find, which I work from home, obviously. So I know sometimes it's a little bit different when you still work in an office. However, what I like to do is I like to meal prep ingredients. So on hand, for example, right now in my fridge, I have 5 Tupperwares of all 5 ounces of ground beef. Already cooked, already ready to go. So maybe I'll have that for lunch with rice and refried beans and make a taco bowl, right? Maybe I'll make it different way, whatever. And then what I realize is towards the end of the week when I'm kind of over that meal prep, I will take like 2 of those. Like last week I did this. I took 2 of those, threw it in my pasta sauce and made for dinner for my boyfriend and I. And then I wasn't wasting it, but then it was like, you know, when you get burnt out at the end of the week of having to be healthy. So it was like, it's so much easier if you have your protein prepped on hand.
Yeah. I love that.
And your carbs are really easy to, you know, you can cook a thing of pasta and it doesn't take a ton of effort, like just boil noodles or whatever, minute rice, or throw it in a wrap and call it a day, and then have like fresh vegetables on hand. That's like, so if I have this ground beef, I could make tacos, I can make a taco salad, I can make a burrito, I could make any type of different wraps, however you want to do it. I could do a burger bowl. I could do a which I think a burger bowl is kind of also a salad if you put
it's essentially
in.
A salad.
It's a salad.
I've always argued that. I'm like, a bowl's essentially a salad.
It really is. You put lettuce in there, it doesn't matter how much. But you could do pasta. Like, I could do so many different things with that. So if I have my protein prepped, it takes, we all get to the point where we're like lazy and tired and don't want to cook. I cook every single night during Monday through Thursday for my
you
boyfriend.
Cook every night? Oh
Monday
my
through
goodness.
Thursday. And then like,
you go.
You know, us women.
You say us women. I don't cook every night.
We don't get enough credit around in these streets. No, I do. He's very appreciative. And he'll always get me something good then on the weekend for like, cause I'm like, I'm done. But Fridays I go with my grandparents and I have dinner. So Monday through Thursday, I do like to have home cooked meals that are good and healthy. And, you know, and then on the weekend I do too, but that's kind of when I'm like.
So I have an interesting question for you. And I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm genuinely just curious because it was interesting because you were like, I don't like saying healthy meals, but you do use the word healthy a lot.
Probably. But okay. So I was going to say this. This is how I categorize food because like I would tell you like chocolate's healthy. So
it has antioxidants in it.
Here's how I categorize food. I honestly like even when I feel that I eat like takeout or something, I don't think that I indulge in a lot of unhealthy things. I think even a lot of the things that you can get out are
somewhat okay. You can do a lot.
Yeah, you really can. And I'm drawn to it. I think the more that you eat healthy, you crave those foods. So here's how I do it. Cause I like I told you, I don't discriminate against food. I have three categories.
Okay.
I have the healthiest of the healthy, which is like lean meats, vegetables, fruits, mm-hmm. like your typical whole
minimal
foods.
Ingredient foods, like probably single ingredient foods.
Yes. Okay. So that's my first category. I prioritize that first category no matter what I'm doing, like no matter where I'm eating. So if I'm eating Chipotle, chicken is like my top priority mm-hmm. to make sure I'm getting a protein in.
Yeah.
Right. Then I have my second category that's like, it's probably not the best for me, but it's definitely not the worst.
Why do you think it's not the best?
This is where I feel like nutrition gets really complicated because there's people who are like, if you're going to have a tortilla or a wrap, you have to have siete that's minimal ingredient and this, and that.
Crossing my eyes for the podcast listeners.
I'm like, you know what? My carb balance mission tortilla does the job just fine.
I do a corn tortilla.
Yeah, like it might not be the healthiest thing for you, but it's not the worst thing for you. Do you have a ghost?
No, I have a dog.
No.
She like made a noise and I was like, are you okay? Do you live a hard life? You're fine. I asked because I see it so much online of like the healthy versus unhealthy. And that's why I won't even say that. Like I've just gotten in the habit of not even saying it because I recognize where, and I loved the breakdown that you just gave of like categorizing foods. Cause I was like, I think that's so helpful because I think that's why so many people like struggle. Because they don't realize, because this is what we do is we do anytime foods, most of the time foods, sometimes foods. And so like we have basically that structured for like our clients in our, like their handbook. And we're like, here's like lists of foods. And it's never suggesting that anything's off limits and it's never suggesting that anything's bad for you. And I'm definitely not saying that that's what you were suggesting. I love dissecting it because I also love marketing for anyone who doesn't know. And so I'm very hyper fixated on like words. And so go for it.
Well, sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly how, like how you said your anytime, some of the time.
I think it's literally you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my last category is like this definitely like the fast food or fried food, like the junk foods or the processed foods. They're definitely not the best thing that you can have, but I don't cut those foods out. Like I have those when I crave them.
Mm-hmm.
So I prioritize the whole foods in my diet, but just because I'm prioritizing those doesn't mean that I have to kick out the things that people, and I agree with you. I don't like to use, I always just kind of say like the healthy versus like the not so healthy, but like you can have both and you can have it all.
I specify only because I know, because what we were talking about, like when we first started, where so many people just don't know these things. And like for us, I knew what you meant right away because I've been in this space for so long. I've said the exact same things. And I also know some people are going to listen and be like, okay, like what's a healthy food? Or like, what should I not eat? Or what's bad for me? And it's like, that's not what she's saying. It's like, and I think that it's the interesting thing where you can categorize the exact same kinds of foods in so many different ways. Like where some people, I actually just made a post. No, I didn't. I'm making a post about clean eating because I go bonkers when people are like, oh, we'll just eat clean. And I'm like, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? And I know what they're saying, but I know so many people who don't. And it drives me crazy because when I first started, I thought if I eat, quote, clean, then I can just lose weight. And then I'm suddenly everything's fixed and I'm going to be happy and love myself because I can lose weight. And I also realized that that wasn't the answer to anything either. It's like therapy was the answer and it's fine. but I like, because I was explaining this actually to Andrew, because he was like, did you actually, I'm like I'm trying to film this video. And he's like, did you actually like gain weight eating like clean? And I quotations were around clean. And I was like, yeah, that's when my like binge eating was actually its worst. And I was like, I struggled a lot with emotional eating and I would sit there. And I mean, I guess technically some people wouldn't view this as like, quote, clean, but I would eat like an entire loaf of bread in like one sitting, or I would eat an entire Costco container of tomatoes to the point where like my stomach hurt, but I was just emotionally eating. And I'm like, I was eating mostly whole nutrient dense foods, but I was eating them in such excess. It's harder to do that. But I did it because I struggled a lot with my emotional well-being. And yeah, so
exactly. It's more so your relationship around it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not even so much of the foods that you eat. And I think that's why it's important to say like nothing is off limits. Like you can have, like how I said earlier, like the girl's night or Jack in the Box or really whatever it is. But I think when you tell yourself that I'm going to eat clean.
Yeah.
That's when you actually want it the most. Like, that's when you're like, oh, pizza sounds so good right now.
Yeah.
Instead of being like
desserts are off limits.
Right. And so what I try to do now, because like how I told you in the beginning, I didn't play sports growing up. Mm-hmm. I would have told you, and like, I'll have times like when I don't like when you don't feel good, like maybe you're like going down with something, like nothing sounds good.
Yeah.
I have my yellow food group. And that's the only thing that sounds good. So my yellow foods are like your like, I guess, colorless. So pasta, bread, tortillas.
Oh, cheese, I see what you're saying.
Like colored. That's my yellow food group. And that's the only, and butter. And that's the only thing that sounds good. And that
you know what's funny is like, I get that.
carb.
This makes sense.
Yeah. Like
grilled cheese. I could eat that when I'm like, it's. The bad thing is I can't have gluten or dairy, so I do like fake. It's like I have celiacs and then I've PCOS and it makes me break out like a mofo and I'm like, it's not worth it, guys. I'm sorry.
My aunt has celiac.
Oh no, celiacs.
She was like one of the first people that
it's very common.
And I remember she like I didn't realize how bad it was when she was like, I can't even have something that's made on the same
surface.
But
I still have gluten-free bread with my vegan cheese and it's great, so I understand what you're saying.
But so anyways, I guess like back then I would have said like healthy food is my first category, which is like my healthy whole foods. And now I'm like, but the other things, like if you have you seen the TikTok trends? Like, and this has been a thing where it's like, this isn't healthy. And it's like the girl working out, eating super healthy. And then
this is healthy. It's like the balance. Yeah.
Yeah. I think 100% true.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think in the beginning that you have to give up the last part of that, like the balance part of that in order to live the healthy.
And the irony is that that's what leads them to have the all or nothing mindset or the yo-yo cycle, because then the second they can't keep it up, then they suddenly like lose everything.
Right. So my mindset with food is if I want pizza, I'm going to make them tonight on my carb control tortillas. And I'm just going to make sure that I have enough protein and make it in like a proportionally right thing that's going to keep me satisfied. And it tastes just as good. And you don't feel awful after, I guess, when you sit and have the real pizzas every night. So eating healthy doesn't have to be chicken, broccoli.
It definitely does not have to be boring.
Yeah. So I guess.
How did you learn more about portions?
So my nutrition certification is specifically around fitness nutrition.
Okay.
So it's what you how much and what you should eat around exercise.
Okay.
I knew from the beginning that I was never going to deprive, like, not from the beginning, but once I realized that I didn't have to deprive myself, I was like, I'm never doing that again. And not to like knock anybody who's in that cycle, because it's scary, but there are definitely ways to, like I said, just every week, just becoming that best version of yourself and realizing that this is a celebration and not a punishment. But
what's your like tip for people who want to like learn more about like portion sizes? Do you have like a rule of thumb for like plates or like anything?
I kind of just like, I always tell people, one, prioritize protein and vegetables.
How much does that mean?
So I probably do, like, my meals, if I'm tracking, are probably anywhere from, like, depending on the meal, 3 to, like, 500, maybe 600 calories if you break it up in
if you're just, like, looking at, like, a plate, maybe, or if you're, like a cup. Someone who doesn't
Oh.
want to track.
True. I would, even when I don't, if I don't track, which what I think is the best way to kind of, I kind of want to learn how to track, but I don't want to track.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Make sure you get enough protein. So make sure you have at least like 4 ounces of protein on your plate.
What if someone doesn't know what that looks like? Like a quarter of their plate or like a cup or something?
Sure. Yeah.
What did you say?
I'm not good at that part because I just use my scale because I cheat it. that's the only thing, because I've had my scale for.
But don't you have it? Like, what do you usually tell clients to do?
I would say, I guess your
like a
is
fist
your
size.
your fist size, right?
Yeah, and it's then, like the fist, and then it's like a cup is
a
like the
cup.
hand. Yeah, and then it's like the palm. No, oh no, 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 no. Fist is your vegetables. Palm is your protein.
Yes.
There
Yeah.
we
Yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Oh
Or I
wow.
would tell people like do like half a cup to a cup of
Yeah.
vegetables,
Yeah.
because I think that's probably one of the hardest things to get used to. I'm not even, like I told you, I don't like green beans. Those
Okay, but
things.
there's other vegetables besides green beans.
I know. I don't trust those guys. I just
like
but I
they're not
think,
for me.
like, growing up being that yellow food group kid is really hard to transition to
To
being
like
like,
green foods.
yeah,
The rainbow.
it's scary, but it's doable. So I,
Fajitas are great.
oh yeah, like, and I love to do Instant Pot, throw your chicken
Oh
in,
yeah.
frozen veggies, salsa, make that girl spicy. And when it comes out, a little bit of cheese, and add your, you could do beans, you could do rice, you could put it in a tortilla, you could do whatever you want with it, but at least you have like the protein and vegetables. And like, if you have those little frozen veggie packs, you don't really taste them.
Oh, I love that. I love it so much.
And it's just, and that way it's like you're prioritizing the protein and the vegetables in your meals, but you're not telling yourself that you can't have the pasta or the sauce or cheese or the things that have been, that are deemed, you shouldn't have this.
Yeah.
You
I love
want
that. I love that.
Have
So
it
I know
all.
we kind of.
Oh, here's another thing that I do. Speaking of portion sizes, me, brain everywhere. What I tell my clients, if you want to have like the pasta sauce or the things that you have been told that aren't the best for you, have a serving size of it. A serving, so.
Oh, like just,
Yeah, so if you're going to have, cheese on something, have a serving size of it. You don't have to not have the cheese or the dressing, like your salad dressing or whatever. You don't have to just put like lemon, squeeze a lemon on a salad and it's, do you know what I
Be like
mean?
miserable.
Yeah, like you don't have to be just eating in that first category that's like prioritize these foods. You can also have the salad dressing or the sauce or whatever it is, have it in a serving size. Pasta, have it in a serving size. Tortilla. So that's probably what I do, and that's, I think, what helps me just stay balanced and stay satisfied to have something like, if I make a pizza at home versus getting how it helps you feel satisfied because you can have those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I appreciate
Like, does this make sense? I feel like I'm telling people 50 million things about food
No,
and
you're
not
doing
and trying
not
to
what?
and not trying to be like those overcomplicated things on the internet that's like, do this, but don't do this.
No, you're doing great because I think that there is some tangible things that people can take away and other people can figure out like what works for them. And then I think that we've navigated some different ways to like view food and different ways that like obviously verbiage plays a role in things. And like it's how it's important to remember that like everyone's so different and unique and it's not one size fits all. And it is okay to have the foods that you love like in moderation. And it's like when we prioritize things like protein and vegetables, those are the things that are important because protein is very satiating. It tends to be one of those things that we are lacking in a lot of meals. And so there's like a lot of reasons why it's very important. And same thing with vegetables. They're just good for you kids. So like I'm just like, come on, kiddos.
Good for you, those yellow food group kids like me.
I'm over here like my favorite snacks are vegetables. I don't know why I've always been that way. Like I can eat a bell pepper like it's an apple. That's how I was raised. I don't know why. I don't know. Couldn't
I
tell
wish, but that's
you.
how I relate to the people who are like, man, this whole
Vegetables are hard.
Okay, this morning it was a perfect example because I felt like after the last few days, I felt like I didn't have good meals. Like, I didn't prioritize food the way that I normally do. And I didn't have a good balance the way that I normally do. And so today I was like, well, of course, like, I'm gonna eat. Like, I'm gonna have a good breakfast today. And my breakfast was, I blend a packet of oatmeal, a banana, and then two egg whites and a little bit of like vanilla extract. Cook it in a pan like a pancake, add chocolate chips and then nut butter, and that was my breakfast, was a pancake essentially, one huge one. And it was so good. And it almost made my brain think, you're not eating healthy. But health eating that doesn't have to be bland and boring. Like, that had protein, carbs, and fat, and had healthy, good ingredients, and not have to be. So I guess that's where me going in circles of it doesn't have to be boring. You can be a foodie and still enjoy food, have a balance, go to the gym. It doesn't have to be 7 days a week, and live a lifestyle, but do both. It doesn't have to be as hard as people make it seem.
Yeah, I think part of the reason that some of the people make it more complicated online is obviously there's the handful of people who fear monger who I say handful. There's a lot of people who fear monger who just drive me bonkers, and that's a whole other conversation. But it's like they do it a lot of times out of their own eating disorder or their own. And I understand they're being very blunt about this, but they usually do it out of either their own eating disorder or their own benefit because there are a handful of people who like promote their own products and then they fear monger other ones. And I'm like, that's not okay. Or there's the people who like, because they're so new on their journey, they don't know how to educate well, and like they're still figuring things out, or they're still struggling with their own demons, and like they're kind of sharing that. And so I think that's why it gets so complicated sometimes, because we have the such different schools of thought because of all of those different factors, where it's like also there's people who like something worked for them, and so they really loved it, which is great. Like I see so many accounts that promote like low carb or keto or like intermittent fasting because like it really worked for them. And I think that that's wonderful that that person found happiness in it. But then it's always so important to remember that like just because it worked for that person, if you cannot see yourself doing this for 10 years, you shouldn't be doing it for 10 days. Like that is what I tell people because it's like you're gonna hate your life. You are. And then you're going to end up right back where you started, if not worse.
Absolutely. I feel that way about like people. So there are people who have celiac or celiacs?
Celiacs. Celiacs.
Celiacs.
Celiacs. Celiacs.
There's an S at the end.
Celiacs. Yeah.
Who actually can't have, like,
Gluten.
who actually physically cannot have gluten, right? And then there are people who are lactose intolerant who cannot have milk, dairy, whatever. Like, kind of how I was saying how there are people who deem eating healthy to be, you have to have that Siete brand versus having the Mission brand.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's another type of eating disorder a lot of times.
Yes. It's orthorexia.
Yeah. I struggled with that a lot when I first started my journey.
Wait,
that's orthorexia is exactly the clean eating. It's like you think you can only eat clean and that's how you are like, okay.
Right. And I have this conversation with my sister because my sister really struggles with eating, and she's been pre-diabetic, so goes on keto and then it doesn't work. Right. And then she stops and then she's, oh, I'm fine, I'm good. And then, you know, gains weight and whatever. And she feels that if she has anything other than a kale salad is how she describes it, that she's not eating healthy. So kind of like how I mentioned how my breakfast this morning was like so good that it doesn't feel like you're eating. So she thinks, well, if I eat, if I have a tortilla and I accidentally burn it, I'm going to get cancer from the burn, like the toasted part, the burnt part.
Oh, okay.
But then you'll eat, like, then she'll go and eat Del Taco multiple times a week. That to me is like, and not to knock the people who are ingredient snobs. There are definitely some things, but like, I love to eat.
It was the fact that you're like ingredient snobs. Not to knock the ingredient snobs. I laughed at the.
Either people are going to love me or they're going to hate me.
That's
on this
fine. Point. Be, I was like, be yourself.
But here's the thing. Like, is
she
this
drinks,
good for
she's
you?
Drink her Diet Coke.
Yeah,
it's Diet not bad. So that's a whole other conversation. But no, it's a whole other conversation because, well, no, it's there's nothing really wrong with it in small doses. The thing is, it's like people, especially like the Diet Coke argument, people cherry pick research. And so they find something that says like aspartame is bad for them. And then they end up just basically like fear mongering everybody again, when it's like the amount that you need to drink on a daily basis is so high.
Yeah, it's 70 cans, I'm pretty sure.
And but they also ignore the fact that like there are other things that have those like actual ingredients in them that they like contraceptives. So a lot of like birth control actually has the same ingredients, and people take it daily and they don't question it. And no, I'm not telling anyone not to get on birth control or anything like that, but I'm just saying it's like it's the same type of fear mongering where I'm like, it's not our place to tell people that like you're gonna die if you drink a Diet Coke. It's like, how about you just drink one a day if you want that, and you just live your life? Because again, a lot of those people, like you're about to say, will be like fear mongering Diet Coke and then like drinking alcohol on the weekends, or which is literal poison, and to each their own.
Yeah, or there are people who were like me who would like down 3 Sprites before my dinner even got there at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so there, that's the, like, you don't have to get rid of the zero calorie. Like, if you're drinking soda, like, it's going out of style, but you're like, I do want to make a better, I want to find a better alternative. Maybe like the poppies aren't your thing, or like soda water isn't your thing, and you still love soda, have a Diet Coke. You don't have to not, you don't have to, does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. I mean, you're just like making fun of yourself. No, it's like I said, I think that this is a whole other, we could definitely go down like a rabbit hole, I feel like, of this, because it's part of the reason that obviously like I kind of do what I do, because like I think that there has been so much misinformation out there and so much fear mongering out there that it really harms people's mental health. And usually people's worry and concern with a single ingredient is causing them more harm than actually eating the ingredient. And so it's the orthorexia hits home a lot, because that was like me for so long. And it's funny because like I get told by friends a lot that I'm like very healthy. They're like, it's really weird because you're like actually very healthy. And I was like, what does that mean? And it's like, part of it's obviously I can't eat gluten, so I just can't eat that much processed stuff anyways. Like, it just happens that way. And then it's like, I just don't eat dairy because it makes me break out. So that's like a personal thing where like, if I wanted to eat it, I could. I just don't like the acne because I don't want it on my face if I can control it. Like, it's whatever. I've shared my acne online too, but I'm not going to like get the big painful pimples on purpose. But then it's like, it's interesting because I think so many people recognize, I'm trying to say this gently. People, I think, know their hypocrisies, but they don't always want to be aware of them, if that makes sense, because they'll like be afraid of the single ingredient and then go out drinking. And then they'll think that they need to do keto, but then go like almost in a sense, binge eat on the weekends because they've deprived themselves for so long. And so it's more people need more true awareness around their actual habits and need to have like a real conversation with themselves about like, is what I'm doing actually good for me? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that in all of my telling you of my pizza and my Diet Coke, that, you know, you do realize it doesn't have to be that extreme.
It doesn't.
And I do think people do need to have, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. and be honest with yourself and have a conversation of, does this work for me or is it not working for me?
And, is it making things worse?
Yeah. And is there a way that I could do this that is just more seamless and more realistic?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be extreme or crazy diets or going to the gym 7 days a week in order to live a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. I know we're kind of past the hour. I was just like, look at that. I was like,
sorry,
uh-oh. No, you're good. I did want to ask one question so that we can like end on first of all, thank you so much. Cause I had a lot of fun talking to you and I feel really honored that this is your first podcast. And like I said, I think that a lot of people are going to leave with some good mindset shifts and some realizations about like, or opportunities for them to either make adjustments or even just kind of like look at like their day to day and figure out like what's working for me and what's not. I want to know, just briefly share a personal aspect from your fitness journey that has significantly shaped your approach as a trainer or even like a content creator.
Oh, that's really good. Say it again.
Share a personal aspect of your fitness journey that has significantly shaped your approach as a trainer or as a content creator.
I think being that girl in the beginning who thought that I had to be so extreme and that it was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it being hard is like your discipline that you have for yourself, which is really consistency, gets mistaken. I don't know why I couldn't say that right. Mistaken for being really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why people get this fear of that they don't want to start because they think it's going to be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could help people who feel now or have felt in a way that they felt that they had to go to those extremes because they didn't think that they were enough in some way. That's kind of my biggest, like, you don't have to go down that route. Like you, y'all do, especially as being young women after you know, just like for me, it was when I graduated high school and that's kind of when I started. And even now seeing my, like the person in my life who has dealt with eating disorders and things like that, how she still struggles. That is kind of a big thing for me. If I never want myself or anybody to feel that they have to continue this struggle and that it has to be that hard. It should be a celebration of what you are capable of, not a punishment because you are less than, because a number on the scale isn't what you want it to be or what you think it should be because you have cellulite or you have what that you're not deemed to be your ideal perfect person. It that fitness is not about being a perfect person.
Yeah.
It's about having the balance, making sure that you are prioritizing the things that help us live a long life. But also in that prioritizes is having fun, good, memorable experiences. And if you're the type of person that's around food, you don't have to deprive yourself just to fit an image.
I love that.
That's not all that matters at the end of the day. Somebody once told me way before I started in the gym, I've always been so insecure about my stomach. Ever since I was a kid, I would sit down and I would have like three rolls. Always been like my most insecure area. And I remember like mentioning that to this person once, and she was like, Brooke, everybody has three rolls when they sit down. And I was like, oh, like something that held so much power over me, this specific look that you think you're going to achieve was just gone like that. And I realized like that doesn't really matter. And like nobody is thinking about those things about you at the end of the day. They're thinking about how funny you are, or how nice you are, or how loving and caring you are. And your fitness is not just about eating, is not just about how you look.
Yeah.
Fitness isn't just about how you look. It's more so about how you feel and how you take care of yourself. And that's important. And you don't have to look just like everybody else in order to fulfill that.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Brooke. Yeah, well, I think that was a great thing to kind of like leave everyone off with. But before we hop off, where can everyone find you? We'll have your links down below, but still.
I am Brooke Works Out on Instagram and TikTok and occasionally YouTube. But
love you for plugging that, because in my head, I'm like, I like post on there and I'm like, I still wouldn't ever say that because I'm like, it's not enough.
I try. You know, I really do try.
The tube is hard.
Yeah, it really is. Well, thank you so much for having me. I hope that people like Diet Coke and don't cancel me for my.
You did not say anything cancel worthy. No. Yeah, of course. And then to everyone else listening, as always, don't be a dick, especially to yourself. I will see you in the next one.